Silence to be here, and I had something I wanted to preach, but the Lord wants me to preach this, so I guess I better preach this, amen. A few years ago, Lynn and I took a trip to Alaska, and I debated on what kind of weapon to take against those grizzly bears. So I looked at, I think it was a .458 caliber elephant gun, and I thought, well, I'll be shaking too bad, I can't hit them with a rifle. So I bought a Mossberg Wright shotgun. I wanted something just to spread out and hit them. I think I loaded it first with a double-aught buckshot because I figured I'd just be swinging and shooting. Then I put a slug behind that, and I thought, well, maybe I'll be ready to take aim then. And then I put another double-aught buckshot in it. And I took that. If I went off in the bushes to go to the bathroom, I took that gun with me. I was afraid of those bears. Well, this morning I don't have a rifle. I got a shotgun. I'm just going to scatter. I don't know exactly how the Lord wants me to preach this morning. And I don't like coming to the pulpit like this, but He had about three messages on me. One of them was the one I wanted, and then I got a couple more, so I'm going to just kind of jam them all together and just blast at you, all right? All right. The Lord's had me laid up for a few months, and He showed me and taught me a lot of things during that time. I told some folks, I said, I almost dread getting better. The Bible says, he that suffers with him is going to reign with him. You know, you'll reign with somebody, and if you were reigning with the Lord, you'd probably talk to him a little bit, wouldn't you? Well, I thought about this, reigning with him. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. Somebody who's never suffered wouldn't have as much in common with him because, man, he suffered, didn't he? Amen. But you know, I thought about something else about being beside him. It just might be possible, Brother McDowell. He might lean over to you and say, what do you think, Brother McDowell? You reckon? I like to think like that. He might just do that. If you're reigning with him, you're ruling and reigning with him. He said if you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. But boy, suffering is something that'll make you more like Him. When you're suffering, you don't want malice in your life, and you don't want strife. When you're really hurting, I mean really hurting, you're not trying to be strifeful and lift yourself up above the brethren. I told you I'm going to scatter a little bit this morning. You're not going to do that. Malice is not in your mind. Relieving that pain is in your mind. Amen. You want relief from that pain. The Bible says after you've suffered a while, He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He'll settle you. He'll make you perfect. Wow. I like to listen to somebody that's suffered a while. They know some things. They ain't too much shakes them. Some big calamity can come their way. Some bad phone calls can come their way. It don't shake them a whole lot. I like to be real near somebody like that. I like to learn from them. I like to get a little bit of what they got. There's some folks, we were discussing this just this morning in the lunchroom up there. There's some folks that are called to a life of suffering. They really are. Now that absolutely is not the message. But I thought about the winning of souls, and it's been mentioned a lot here in the last days, and we're in those times, and we're seeing things around us. It hadn't been talked about a lot, but I don't know what's ahead, and neither do you, but it's looking pretty bad right now. But God setteth up kings, and He removeth kings. There's no powers that be except they that are ordained of God. If we worry about it, we need to confess to God our sin and get right with God. Now that's hard to preach. I hate to live that one. I almost wish I hadn't said it, because I'll have to live it. Amen, preachers? Amen. But God said in Philippians to be careful for nothing. You know what children do when they some hard, you know, when the tire blows out on the car going down the interstate or something, and they're just little children, they look and see Daddy's reaction. I guarantee you today, if you looked into heaven and looked at God's reaction for this date, whatever it is in 08, He ain't worried. He ain't worried. My Father ain't worried. Why would I be worried? We're going to need this, bro. I believe we're going to need it within the next calendar, within the next year. We're going to need it. But through all of this, don't forget one thing. He that winneth souls is wise. I believe it's Proverbs 11:30. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You want wisdom? Ask of God. God said the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom is knowledge. He said if you're going to have wisdom, Give it to me, brother. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, a man that's fearing God, you know what he's going to do? He sees a sinner man. If he's fearing God, he's going to try to keep that sinner man out of hell. If you're fearing God, you're going to try to keep him out of there. If you're very smart, if you got any sense, you're going to try to keep him out of there. And I believe we're going to need this in the last days. I believe one reason we're not winning souls to the Lord in this day is because, you know, we're getting some of us, most of us in here are older. We got a lot of children in here, but a lot of us are getting older. We've been at this thing a good long while now. And we've been at it a while. And most of us have got our own physical family brought up. They've been raised. And you know what? When we get them raised, we kind of back off on that raising part, don't we? I don't have any grandkids yet, but I've watched some of y'all. As others, you back off on them grandkids. You send them to the grandkids and you got about beat them to death when they get home to get them straightened out. I mean, send them to the grandparents because they let them by with murder because they're tired of raising them. They're tired of raising kids and they're just kind of cruising along. Well, there's no place for us to cruise along spiritually. There's no place to put it in neutral. There's no place to lay down. You see, we get one out of the world. We want them to come into the church just like we are. We want to win those that can come in and just sit down and you can't tell them from the rest of us. Well, there's a whole bunch of them out there that are not like that. I was one of them. In 1984, I was one of them. If somebody hadn't cared about me, if they wanted me to be just like them, they would have walked by me because they wouldn't have wanted me to come into their church and sit down. You see, there's a lot of work to raising babies. I'm talking about winning souls in the last days. We're kind of on a direction here. But I remember one time my son Isaac, he's been here, he's preached here before. I remember one time that my wife was doing something and she left him with me and my dad. And son, I'm telling you, she called or something. Anyway, we were on the phone and I discovered Isaac had a messy diaper. He didn't just have a messy diaper, man. That boy looked like a bomb went off. We laid him down on the floor, and I couldn't even hang a phone up. I just laid it down. I didn't even think about what I was doing. My wife was hearing this whole conversation. Lord, Daddy, look, Daddy, get his leg. Oh, don't let it get in that. Pull him back this way. Oh, my goodness. We don't want to do that in the church anymore, you see. We don't want to bring them in. We want to hear some deep things, and boy, I do too. Give me some nuggets. I love them golden nuggets. I get some of them here. Amen. But we don't want to bring the babies in and have those bomb diapers go off. Have them stand up, bring them in right out of the world, have them stand up and just make a real fool of themselves. Oh, there might be somebody there that we've been trying to minister to that's got a... Boy, they're a businessman in the community. Woe be unto us. We better love the sinner man. Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners. He was accused of that, wasn't he? We better be friends to those sinners out there and try to get them into the house of the Lord. But we don't want to have to milk feed them. There's a lot of work to feeding babies. It's easier to come to the camp meeting without my little children. Rebecca's with us and she's 12 years old now. It was hard to travel with four children and, you know, a couple of them in diapers, one of them on the bottle. Milk feeding them. Man, there's a lot of effort to that. You miss out on a lot of things when you got a milk feed. We want the preacher to get in the pulpit and be able to feed us. Amen. I believe that's one reason we don't bring them in. We don't want to have to raise those babies back up again. But that's glorious. It must be to watch the other side of the grandparents, how they think that those children, they take on them way more than they took on after their own children. Man, they just fall over them. Don't forget those babies are still wonderful things to have. It's wonderful to see a child grow up in the house of God. Those little ones out there that don't know anything, they get saved and they're on the milk and they're babies. It's wonderful to see them grow up in the house of God. Yes, it absolutely is. I believe one reason is this, that we don't want to disciple them. What we do today, what I see us doing in the Independent Baptist movement, we have whatever push we got, whatever direction we got to get somebody in, we get them in. We shout, they got saved. Woo, woo, woo. They got saved. And that's about as much help as we give them. And then we fall into something in the Word of God, and I know all the words of the Lord are pure, and man, I'm with you all, and I know that, but they need some milk. Most of it's so far over their head, they just come out of the world. I'm sitting there thinking, listening to the preaching, the lost world wouldn't have a clue what we're talking about here today. What some of these brilliant men have been preaching, the world don't have a clue about what they're preaching until they have that spirit in them. Yeah, they grow, but they grow by milk. Paul criticized the Corinthians because you ought to be grown up. You ought to not be on the milk, but you ought to be eating meat. But them babies need the meat. I believe that's one reason we don't go out and get them. There's some work and effort to it. Here's another reason, and this one hurts right here. I believe that we're so wrapped up in our ministry sometimes that we don't have any place for them. You know, sometimes you can worship your ministry. We get talking about, and we all use this terminology, but we say our ministry, our church is doing this, our church is doing. Yeah, they're doing it, but let me tell you, if your ministry is in the will of God, it's God that's doing your ministry. God is doing this through our church. God is doing this ministry. God raised us up to do this ministry. We got to, here I am, see we. The Lord has a lot of ministries at our church, and we started some ministry at our church, and boy, they were rough. They didn't work too good. But boy, if you let God start a ministry, don't ever forget who started that ministry. Who burdened your heart, pastors, over that ministry. It's God. It's His ministry. But I'm afraid a lot of times that we're wrapped up. Listen, we're so wrapped up in what our church is doing. Listen, it's easy to do. We're creatures of habit. God developed us that way. Young people, you can start a good habit or you can start a bad habit in your life. It don't take much to make a habit in your life. Some drugs, the first time you do them, become a habit. When I got saved, I formed a habit. The first time I tasted of the salvation of the Lord, I formed a habit. The first time the Holy Ghost touched me, I formed a habit. The first time the presence of God moved in my heart, the first time He filled me with the Holy Ghost, I formed a habit, brother. I formed a habit. I'm addicted, brother. I remember you preaching about an addiction one time. I'm addicted. The house of Stephanus addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's some churches that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What an addiction! There are some churches that have addicted themselves to the ways of the world. What a sickening addiction! Your body will form habits spiritually and physically. Form good habits. Form good habits. You see, it's real easy for us at whatever ministry we got. Brother Duncan and Good Shepherd have a camp meeting ministry. They do certain mission things. I know a little about them. And of course, where we're at, we have certain ministries that God has given us. But it's so easy to focus in on that ministry so intently that the sinners pass right by where you are. They pass right by where you're ministering, and you never tell them about the Lord. They're lost without God. They're going to hell. He can come any minute. It was something to get saved in 1984, but down through the years, I've thought, man, how can anybody be lost today? We're nearing. Brother Freed, we're nearing so close to the coming of the Lord. How close is it? Man, it may be really closer than we realize. How could a person be lost today? How could young people live so promiscuously in this day with AIDS the way it is, with all the venereal diseases the way they are, with drugs the way they are, with the kind of drugs they're doing? They're pulling drugs out from under the kitchen sink and taking them, man. What a world today. What a world to be lost in. Man, they need God today. They need God today. Don't forget the souls, brethren, while you're ministering. Man, our ministry at the church, God's done things so huge, but hey, we forgot in our church. We get focused on what we're doing and not what we're doing it for. And the fact that God said, go ye, 40, how many times? 41, two times. Go ye, go ye, go ye. The fields are white. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We had a man and family leave our church to go down into Georgia. God led them down to Georgia. They hooked up down there with Brother Mark Stroud and his church. And boy, they bus kids in. I tell you what he told me just the other day. He came back to our church. They're now missionaries. They've gone to Gillette, Wyoming. I don't know where Brother Rudy's at, but they've gone to Gillette, Wyoming. I saw your cup up there, brother. They're missionaries out there. I said, man, y'all do a lot of busing the kids in. You do a lot of going out and getting those ruffians in that nobody don't want and loving them on in, don't you? That's all they need, man. They didn't get any love at the house. I'll tell you one thing God's going to hold us accountable for. He's going to hold us accountable for loving them at the house of God. I promise you that thing, buddy. Brother Duncan, he's going to hold us accountable for loving them at the house of God. They may not have got love at the house they grew up in or the bushes they lived in or wherever it was they lived. But it better be right when you come to the house of God. They better get loved here. They better feel some love and look at them. I wish they had a picture of me to show you. I bless the Lord. Somebody loved me enough to put my name on a prayer board. Write my name up there. I was amazed when I got saved and went to church. They said, you can erase your name off the prayer board. I said, my name? My name on a prayer board in the church? Erase your name, man. You're in. Erase your name, man. You're in. They better get some love at the house of God. Amen. They better get some love here. And you know what will happen if you love them? They'll listen. If you love them, they'll listen. They never had anybody love them. I worked with one man. His mama tried to abort him. He's older than me. I never seen such a man with such a bitterness inside him still today. Said he was a preacher. Told me he was a preacher, but he carried such bitterness. His mama tried to abort him, and it failed. And she had him. Wonder how that makes you feel toward your mama. That man goes to the house of God. He better get some love at the house of God. If he don't get some love at the house of God, where is he going to get it? You tell me. Tell me. Anybody? Can anybody tell me? Where can that person get love? Where would you suggest they go to get love? I would suggest they go to the house of God. That's where I'd tell them to go. Hallelujah. We get wrapped up in what we're doing. We get wrapped up in our big pats on the back, our big names and on the signs, our everything. It gets so our until God ain't in there. The church of the Laodicea, and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." I just believe this. Some of you Bible scholars may contradict me, but I just believe they, some of them saved in the Laodicean church is sitting there. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. I believe that some of them, they hear that knock and they say, who's that knocking on the door? And then they hear, children, his sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. And they take an ear. And if they'll open that door, he'll come into them. They say, that's the voice of the Lord. I hadn't heard that in a while. I've never heard it in here. I haven't heard that in a while. Even the church of the Laodicean. What a merciful, merciful, merciful God we've served. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. But I believe sometimes our ministries get so big sometimes. Man, they can get so big. God would give us bigger ones if we'd just keep giving Him the glory. Just ushering it back up to Him. God done this. Brother Duncan, God built this camp meeting. God built this place. He says it's God's place. That's why he got a sign what to do and what not to do. It's God's place. Today, Brother Duncan, you say it ain't God's place. He'll write Ichabod up yonder on the door of this place, buddy. And it'll be dead twice, plucked up by the roots. It'll be a sickening place to come to instead of a place where you got liberty to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where the Holy Ghost breathes on the singing. Where the Spirit of God moves. You see, I got an addiction to that. Ever since I got addicted, I have to hunt it out. I look for it. I listen for it. That addiction was inside me. It longs for it. It wants it. When I find out where it is, I go there. And I like it there. It fills my longings and my desires. In my spiritual heart. You lose that. You've lost everything. Young people, it may seem strange unto you, but I assure you one thing. When the Holy Ghost breathes, you'll know it's Him. He's an unmistakable voice. He's an unmistakable person. There's no one else like Him. When He moves and He breathes, you know it. You know it's Him. There's no mistaking Him. I've been laid up a while, as I said, been suffering. God gave me a message on suffering. I wanted to preach it. But God wouldn't give me liberty to preach it up here. I was coming up the road, laying in the back of the car. My wife was driving. We thought the car was tearing up. I heard this sound, and I thought, man, my wife said, that air conditioner's making a funny noise. And I put my ear to it, and I put my ear to the radio, and I had her open the window on, we were coming north on whatever, Interstate 64, And I was listening, and I thought, what is that? It was louder on the right side than on the left side. We stopped up the road. I said, as soon as you get off, I said, I put some used tires on this thing, trying to save some money. No, I put some used tires on the back of it. And I said, I got a tire messing up, I believe. We pulled in, and I stopped, and I got out. And over in the trees was this ringing noise. I said, it's those dry flies, I called them. It's those dry flies, honey. It ain't a car. It's those dry flies. You see, I was laying down in the back of that car, and I thought she was driving north. I didn't know she drove straight into Egypt, man. I didn't know she drove down here. Was you listening, Brother Duncan? That was for you. Amen. My wife said, every so many years, they come out of the ground and look for a mate. I said, I hope it ain't me. I told her when we pulled up, I said, the Lord's give Brother Duncan a choir down there. We sat in the car last night up there and laid on some chairs. I couldn't even hardly hear. I still got 5 minutes. Amen. Amen. But the Lord had me lay up a while and showed me some things about suffering and all. And He's given me some grace. I tell you, I've never enjoyed preaching as much as I have. I've never enjoyed teaching. I've taught Sunday school at our church a couple of times. I hadn't been in church. Last Wednesday night was the first time I've sat in a church pew since the first week of March, I think. It ain't because I don't want to be in church. I love church. You see, right here today, I love this. When you men preach and feed my soul and the Holy Ghost breathes on you, I love this. When they sing and you folks sing and you got such talent and talents, that's it given to you by God. He gives those talents, but when you've got the touch of the Holy Ghost on you, young people, I see some young people that have the talent God gives them, and more, they start boasting and getting prideful in that talent, especially singing. It's the worst. Singing, I believe, is the worst talent to get away from God in, young people. I believe it's the worst one that you can draw away from God and start boasting in that great voice you got or that great ability you got on the guitar. Some of them went on to play in secular and sing secular. Some of them are still there. Some of them have died tragic deaths. Think about it. But some of them have stayed in the house of God. And some of them have got to experience the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, we're going to need Him in the days ahead. When all hell breaks loose out here and we prepare and get ready up to those days right before that trumpet sounds, right before the voice of the archangel and the trump sounds and we go out to meet God in the sky, I believe the times are going to get hard. As in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They builded, they planted, they bought, they sold. Our buying and selling is backing off these days with the price of fuel, isn't it? It's going to rally again before He comes in His to be revealed to all mankind. And we're back with Him, by the way, on the white horses. Amen. But we're going to see some rough times. You know why the old time ladies came to the house of God and shouted their hair down and they just couldn't be still in the house of God. They just couldn't sit there and keep their mouths shut. Because they'd been washing down at the creek, the old clothes. Or they'd been washing on the old rub boards. And they'd been cooking on a wood stove and at 95 degrees. And they come where the sweet Holy Ghost is, man. God may take us back there. God, some of you brethren, I see your gray hair and I see your wrinkled faces. God may take us back a ways. But you know what? His grace is going to be so wonderful there. It almost makes me want to say, come on, Lord, bring it on. Amen. God gave me a thought the other day, how He won't put any more on us than we're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. You know what I call that place? I call that place the door of no more. You ever been to the place, Lord, I just can't take no more? You know what? You know what the most beautiful door in the world is? One of the beautiful doors? It's the door of no more. I'll tell you why. Just listen. You're nearing that door. Suffering's been great. Hard times have been, man, it's hurt. Everything's hurting. Your heart's hurting. Your body's hurting. Man, you're just hurting. But boy, God's there. And sometimes He lets us walk through dry places and we don't sense Him. We just have to rely by faith the way we trust Him to get saved, like that's something new to us. We trusted Him by faith with the eternal destiny of our soul. Why do we not trust Him with our walk? He said He'll abide in us and never leave us, never forsake us. Why do we act like and think He isn't there? But sometimes He'll take us right up to that door. And this right here is the door of our breaking. This will break us right here. If I have to open this door and step through it, it'll be more than I can take. You know what that place is right there? That's the deliverance of God. That is the most beautiful place in the world. I can take you, almost put my feet in the prints where I, when I was in Bible college, I started when I was 39. I had my fourth child during the 4 years of Bible college, going at night, working construction in the day. No wonder I got slip disc in my back. But I can take you to a place one day. I'd left the job site. I'd got MO, memory overload. I couldn't take anymore. I couldn't remember anything else. My studies, I couldn't pack them in anymore. I had too much on me. And I walked out to the old port-a-john out there on the job, and I turned and walked back. And you know where I got? I was nearing the door of no more. I got near that door. God touched me and delivered me right there. I can take you to the place where the burden just went, shwah. And son, it was rosy and beautiful skies. I'm not saying every step of the walk's been wonderful since then, but I know what God did. I know what He can do. Since I've been laid up, I've had widow women stick, or had one widow lady stick a $50 bill in my pocket. We just go out. I just say I'm riding God's train. Just get on His train and ride. Man, if you ain't on it, it's the best train ride you ever been on. It bumps sometimes, Brother McDowell. It bumps. There's some bumps along the way. But man, what a ride. There'll be some rough places. We'll go through some dark places, some tunnels. But then we'll break out in the light one day. We was at a garage sale the other day. I buy a few things and sell them. I can't do my job right now, so I buy a few things and sell them. I could probably work a little bit on my job, but I know what I'll do. I'll blow my back out again, like I'm liable to do today if I get much more excited. But Brother Whittemore, our mission director, called, and he said, told my wife on the cell, I said, can you come by the church? Listen to this, this will bless you. He said, can you come by the church? And we'd already passed it and was coming back. He said, we're just almost to it. He said, somebody's left something here for you. And she said, well, we'll be right there. And we wanted pizza around about Mother's Day. We just didn't really want to spend the money for it, you know. My wife said, we can't do it, kids. My kids, man, we want pizza. We like to eat pizza a couple times a month. We couldn't eat any pizza. He said, come by here. Somebody's left something for you. And there was an envelope, and we opened it up. And first thing I saw was a couple of pizza coupons, about $35 worth of pizza coupons. My wife said, that's a thoughtful gift there. You know what? Somebody got in touch with heaven. Somebody got in touch with heaven. But that about make me shout right now. And also $200. You saw what I told first. There's two pizza coupons in there, man. And $200, you know. That's my all-sufficient God. I know I'm going to need this in the days ahead. That's why I'm preaching it good and loud in front of a bunch of witnesses. So when I have to live it, I'll be able to maybe make it through. Amen? Hallelujah. We got a sufficient God. A fellow that I worked with that helped me go out on my own, he said he wanted to come by and see me. Come by to see me the other day. He works on my job. He tore his Achilles tendon really bad. He was out of work just a little longer. He just went back about 2 weeks ago. I was working for him in South Carolina. He ended up coming up working with us in North Carolina because that job fell apart and a whole bunch of stuff. But anyway, he's been laid up with his foot. He just built a beautiful new home. He lost it. He had to let it go back. He's got his truck left. I bought most of his tools. He's busted down about as low as you could get. His marriage busted up. His wife left him, took the two kids. He come by to see me. Tattoos up and down his arms. And he'd been out of work now since back about the 1st of March. And he said, he started talking to me. He said, Larry, I got right with God. He said, I got away from the Lord and I've lost everything. He said, but you know what? I found myself in that big old house. down crying. Said, I was down crying. Said, God, I just want this house to sell. I think his payment was like $2,000 a month. He said, I just want this house to sell. I just want my wife back. God's done it all for him because he got his heart right with God. I said, boy, you picked up some tattoos? He said, yeah, I got things I'm ashamed of. He said, but man, I'm living in an apartment now. I've lost my house. I've lost everything. But he called me again the other day. He said, Larry, me and my wife, we got under a burden, and we want you to come up. We got some stuff in storage we want to give you that you can take and sell at the flea market. We've been working flea markets some. So we got, I sold about $80 worth the other day. I'm telling you, I serve a sufficient God. I could tell you on and on and on and on what God's done. I talked to my son. I said, son, we're getting down there. If I get out of paying quarterly taxes, we'll have a little money. You know, it'll help us out. So we checked the IRS. I ain't even talked to my wife what the phone call was right before. That's one reason we was late. She's on the phone holding for the IRS. They said never call on a Monday. I know I'm over, brother. I got to hush. I'm over. I don't want to go over, brother.